This is Kathy bringing you the Bloomington Normal Pantograph for Thursday, the 23rd of January. Starting with the front page from the City of Bloomington, this council hears housing standardized incentives for housing construction. Bloomington City staffers are hoping a proposed set of standardized incentives can help to encourage the construction of much-needed housing projects. During a non-voting session of the Bloomington City Council on Tuesday, Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus presented the city's proposals for council feedback. In July, the City Council adopted a resolution setting priorities for housing expansion in the city, and among the priorities was the standardization of housing incentives, which may include a reduction of fees for affordable and low-income housing projects and a process for requesting assistance for housing projects that meet certain defined criteria. For months, the staff evaluated strategies to spark development with the least burden to taxpayers. Not everyone will choose to live in the city, but we know for a fact that there are many would if they could have had a place to live and they could afford, Tyus said. According to the incentive plan, projects that would be located within both a tax increment financing district and an enterprise zone would be eligible for a refund of up to 75% of the property taxes collected from the TIF district. Anywhere from 50 to 100% of city fees could be waived, and sales taxes would be waived on all construction materials. For projects that include a restaurant or a retail business, up to 50% of sales taxes and food and beverage taxes could be rebated. The staff used the $11 million 230-bedroom Lincoln Lofts affordable housing development at 2220 East Lincoln Street that was completed in 2021 as an example. Had these incentives been in place at the time of its approval, and if it were built in both a TIF district and an enterprise zone, the project would have saved about $760,000 in fees and taxes and could have been almost eligible for almost $955,000 in TIF revenue. If it were built solely within an enterprise zone, the fee waivers and sales tax benefits still would have applied. This would have amounted to about $718,000 in savings for Lincoln Lofts. For properties outside the two incentivized districts, city fees would still be waived and the rebate for restaurants and retail industries would still apply. The Lincoln Lofts project would have saved about $388,000 then. Such a project also would be eligible for density bonus that would allow more low-income and affordable housing units to be built. Tyus said these numbers were based on incentives being offered in neighboring communities for large-scale economic development projects. Some council members said they would like more time to evaluate the impact these changes would have on the city's finances. According to the resolution approved in July, the staff also was asked to bring back a comprehensive housing program focusing on addressing and improving blighted areas, adding more units back into the market, and providing incentives for property owners to rehabilitate and develop neighborhoods. Zoning code changes and the formation of an intergovernmental rapid response team focused on joint housing initiatives also were prioritized. The city is currently working with Optico's Design, an urban planning company out of California, to evaluate the city's zoning code. Tyus said he expects the company to have recommendations by March or April. Tracy Petkunis, president of the Mid-Illinois Realtors Association, said as of Tuesday there were only 99 active listed homes in Bloomington Normal, including single-family homes and condos. Of these, 64 are existing homes and 35 are new constructions. The average sale price for existing homes ended in October 2024 was just under $275,000, compared to about $255,000 at the same time in 2023. The average sale price of new construction, meanwhile, was around $455,000 in October 2024, compared to $416,000 the previous year. There are no new construction homes for under $250,000, Petkunis said. The majority of those are ranging anywhere between $300,000 and $500,000. Of the 64 existing homes that are listed, 3 are under $100,000, 17 are between $100,000 and $200,000, 17 are between $230,000 and $300,000, 9 are between $300,000 and $400,000, and 18 are greater than $400,000. For more information on available construction sites in the city, you can email buildingbloomington.com. This next article, Planned Parenthood to shut Bloomington Normal and three other sites. State organization cited finances, by Brendan Moore. Planned Parenthood of Illinois announced on Wednesday that four health centers, including facilities in Bloomington and Decatur, would close in March and amid financial challenges for the organization. Health centers in Ottawa and in Chicago's Englewood neighborhood will also shutter. None of the facilities closing offered in-clinical surgical abortions, but they did provide medication abortion and a slew of other health services. The organization in a news release said it plans to expand appointment availability at its facilities in Champaign, Peoria, Springfield, and Chicago's Roseland neighborhood to accommodate patients' needs. It will also increase virtual operations via telehealth appointments and, starting next month, offer medication abortion through its Planned Parenthood Direct app. Patient care is and will always be our number one priority, said Tanya Tucker, interim president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois, in a prepared statement. We made plans for the patient surge. However, rising care costs and lower reimbursement rates from insurers is jeopardizing PPIL's sustainability. Unfortunately, this is the reality many other Planned Parenthood affiliates are facing in the rapidly evolving health care environment, she said. We are making difficult decisions today, so we can continue providing care tomorrow and well into the future. Illinois has become an island in the Midwest for reproductive health care in recent years. Surrounding states enacted strict restrictions on abortion both before and after the U.S. Supreme Court overruled Roe v. Wade in 2022. The High Court's decision prompted a sea of state-level total abortion bans, including in Illinois' neighboring states of Indiana, Kentucky, and Missouri. Ballot initiatives, many with direct financial support from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, have restored abortion rights in some states, including Missouri. However, Illinois is still often the closest state where people from the American South and across the Midwest can receive abortion care, and that has created a strain on providers in the state. Planned Parenthood of Illinois has recorded a 47% increase in out-of-state patients seeking abortion care since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the organization said. Patients from outside Illinois now make up one quarter of all overall patients. Previously, it was less than 5%. The increase came even before the fall of Roe. According to data collected by the Illinois Department of Public Health, the number of out-of-state residents receiving abortions in Illinois increased from 3,210 in 2015 to 16,849 in 2022. The organization said the increased patient volume, rising cost, and low insurance reimbursement rates have forced them to make difficult decisions. Services offered at the Bloomington Clinic, 1319 North Veterans Parkway, and the Decatur Clinic at 3021 North Oakland Avenue have also included birth control, gender-affirming care, HIV services, and sexually transmitted disease testing and treatment. Planned Parenthood said it was downsizing its staff to reflect the closures, but some employees at affected clinics may be offered positions at other locations or transition to telehealth. The announcement comes just weeks after Planned Parenthood of Illinois President and CEO Jennifer Welsh, who had led the organizations for 7 years, stepped down. And the article, Blono Beats, What I Like About Jazz. This is ISU grad student Wesleyan alum debuting a quintet show this weekend. Music has the right to amuse people, and people have the right to be amused by music. For music students in Bloomington Normal, this is very important, thought Beats on. In an interview, Colby Power said his philosophy of music education is that anyone can be a musician. You don't have to do music professionally or even semi-professionally, he said. To Powers, it begins by interacting with music. If you want to step in my classroom for the first time as a senior in high school and you want to learn, cool. I'll teach you how to be a musician, he said. Powers is in his second semester of graduate school at Illinois State University School of Music. He's also an assistant director of jazz at the George Evans Junior High School in Bloomington. The Colby Powers Quintet will make its Jazz Up Front debut at 8 p.m. Saturday, opening in the downtown Bloomington venue for the Reginald Lewis Two Tenor Quintet. Powers, who's originally from Aurora, Colorado, has a music education degree with a minor in jazz studies from Illinois Wesleyan University. He said IWU gave him the chance to explore all the facets of music. Powers said he liked jazz and conducting the most. He's working on his master's degree in wind band conducting at ISU, studying under Tony Marinello, associate music professor and director of bands. Powers committed to jazz music in 2021 as a sophomore at Wesleyan, he said, following direction of Lewis, who is director of jazz on the Titan campus. Powers said he used to be on and off with jazz until Lewis came into the picture. Powers said that the Titan jazz director let him play a saxophone and told him stories of projects he worked on. He said he became a fan of Lewis's music. After joining Wesleyan's jazz combo, Powers said Lewis extended an invite to play with him at clubs, including jazz up front. "I was like, yes, this is what I love, what I like about jazz," Powers said. As a middle school music teacher, Powers said he can be the gateway to jazz that helps his students realize there's another world of music in the genre. He said he opens the jazz band every year to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students. He noted that most incoming 6th graders are in their second year of learning their instrument, and he introduces them to articulation and specific artists to study. Powers says he's a big fan of where classical meets jazz in the 20th century. The music that people can relate to these days, he said. He said that includes more free-form jazz styles. Powers said he likes that because I'm in collaboration with everyone. Other artists favored by Powers include John Coltrane, Count Basie, and Chad L.B. Lefkowitz Brown. The Colby Powers Quintet plays mostly standards, he said, but we make it our own through custom arrangements that affect collaboration. Their set list includes standards like Sunny Moon for Two by Sonny Rollins, Take a Train by Billy Strayhorn, and Bolivia by Cedar Walton. When asked if any particular jazz artists have been influential to him, Powers named John Baptiste, who performed piano for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. "When I listened to his albums, it gave me this feeling of a part of me that I didn't know existed but needed to come out," Powers said. Powers said people need to interact with music at every stage. He said that includes just listening or advocating for music, such as by attending shows to support a musician you know. "Anyone who interacts with musicians, those are musicians," he said. With his junior high school students, Powers said he gives them an album to listen to on Thursdays, and he asks them to share a jazz album with him, too. He said he's always looking for new music, so he'll listen to his students' recommendations over the weekend. He said he picks one album shared by his students and has the whole class listen to it the next rehearsal. Powers said his listening project inspires him as both a performer and an educator, and he wondered, "What if one of my students goes out and makes one of those albums?" He said people can learn something new about music at any point in their lives. "That's what keeps me going as an educator," Powers said. "I can always learn more." Big headlines on page 3. Normal Council reviews $211 million budget for FY26 with a 5.4% cut. The town of Normal is counting on strong financial reserves and a slight decrease in sales tax income, so it plans to cut spending by over 5% in next year's budget to mitigate a future revenue drop. The Normal Town Council reviewed a $211 million budget for fiscal 2026, which will start April 1, during a work session Tuesday. It represents a 5.38% decrease from the current year's estimated $223 million budget. "Fund reserves are strong, which is typical for us. We like to maintain a good fiscal position, and we continue to do our conservative budget practices," said Finance Director Andrew Hune. "Our fund balances are allowing us to have financial flexibility through my tenure, and then also for this year in terms of being thoughtful about cutting the budget in a more timely way." Various areas are still expected to benefit from revenue growth, however, Hune said. Those include street resurfacing, facility improvements, vehicle and equipment purchases, and funding for police and fire pensions. Although revenue growth is expected in the upcoming fiscal year, Hune said the town staff is taking a conservative approach when it comes to future years. They expect lower sales tax revenue and are planning to reduce the number of transfers from the general fund, which covers most operating expenses, to capital projects, saving for contingencies, economic development plans, and extra pension funding. What we're talking about is extra payments. In recent years, when we've ended the fiscal year with a surplus, those surplus dollars have gone into what we've called pensions and pavement, said City Manager Pam Reese. We've taken those surplus dollars, we've invested them in capital projects of pavement and pension. So when Hune says we're cutting our extra payments, it's those extra surplus dollars that we're pulling back into this proposed budget. Hune added that the pension obligations are on track to be paid in full by 2040, which should result in lower annual payments. How the town's revenue will perform will depend largely on how the economy progresses, Hune said. He noted he has heard inflation is significantly down and recession is less likely. The council can expect some more budget cuts as the staff continues to fine-tune the proposed budget for final approval at its March 3rd meeting, but there won't be anything major to alarm anyone, Hune said. According to town documents, state and local sales taxes comprise approximately 40% of the general fund's revenue. Estimates call for $15.33 million from the state and $22.31 million from the local side for a total of $37.64 million in the coming budget, which is down from about $40 million in the current fiscal 2025 budget. The total revenue expected for the general fund in FY26 is about $96.07 million. The fund for building the Uptown Underpass is expected to be at $19.32 million, while the water and sewer funds are expected to be $17.36 million and $9.5 million, respectively. The town expects to spend $9.44 million on police and fire pension funds, $8.9 million on roads, and $6.3 million on debt payments in the next fiscal year, according to town documents. It's a good budget. I'm feeling pretty comfortable about it, and I'm a little more comfortable that it's a watchful budget, said Mayor Chris Koos. At the same time, you're being conservative and keeping an eye on what might be some uncertainty in some out years here, and we appreciate that caution that you bring into the budget process. In other news, the town authorized an agreement between the City of Bloomington, the Town of Normal, McLean County, Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District, and the Ecology Action Center for Household Hazardous Waste Collection. It approved the final plat for the Acacia subdivision at 111 North Grove Street and approved a $92,339 purchase agreement with Strong Technical Services for a new laser projection system for Normal Theater. And under names and faces, Illinois Wesleyan student represents Ford County in the County Fair Queen pageant. The Pantograph, Springfield. Miss Ford County, Kate Wilson, represented her community at the 2025 Illinois Association of Agricultural Affairs State Queen pageant, held January 16th through 19th at the Crown Plaza in Springfield. Wilson, 19 of Paxton, is a 2023 Buckley Lota High School graduate and a current marketing major at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. She is the daughter of Mike and Heather Wilson. Wilson competed against 72 other County Fair Queens for the title of Miss Illinois County Fair Queen of 2025. The competition evaluated each contestant based on personal interviews, stage presence, physical condition, beauty, and speech and communication skills. Wilson was contestant number 24 and displayed an exceptional poise and talent throughout the weekend, according to a news release from the Ford County pageant directors. Congratulations to Kate for her outstanding representation of Ford County and for making her community proud at the state level. The title of the Miss 20 Illinois County Fair Queen for 2025 was awarded to Joanna Fulcher of Henry County. And in brief, Country Financial Scholarship Deadline Approaching. Students in need of financial assistance to enroll in tuition-based college courses at Heartland Community College have a little more than a week to apply for aid through Country Financial. The Country Financial High School Scholarship Program is open to eligible high school sophomores and juniors from Bloomington, Hayworth, Lexington, Normal Community, Normal West, Olympia, Ridgeview, Tri-Valley, and University High Schools. In addition to monetary support, the scholarship program offers mentorship for Country Financial employees, as well as professional development and engagement opportunities. The scholarship would cover tuition, fees, a laptop, and textbooks. The deadline to apply this year is February 1st. For more information, you can visit heartland.edu/college/countryscholarship. Disco Fever Open Skate set for Saturday at the Bloomington Ice Center. The Bloomington Ice Center will host a Disco Fever Open Skate from 12:30 to 2 p.m. Saturday, January 25th. The BIC at 201 South Roosevelt Avenue in Bloomington is encouraging guests to dress in 70s theme attire. Those who dress up according to the theme will receive $1 off admission. Admission is regularly $7 and skate rentals are $3. We're excited about this one-of-a-kind experience on the ice, stated Tom Rakestraw, Bloomington Parks and Recreation Marketing Manager, in a news release. It will be a great opportunity for friends and family to get moving and grooving on a chilly afternoon. Visit the Bloomington Ice Center .org or call the BIC at 309-434-2877 for more information. Eastern Illinois Food Bank to distribute food in February. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile will travel through McLean and DeWitt counties in February to distribute food to individuals and families facing food insecurities. Interested parties are asked to register at eifclient.com and bring bags and boxes to transport food. The first stop will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday, February 8th at the Trinity Community Fellowship, 1300 West Clinton Avenue in Farmer City. The food mobile will then visit Normal from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, February 22nd at Normal Community West High School at 501 North Parkside Road. Stops in rural McLean County are planned February 24th in the northern section of the county and February 26th in the southern area. Those stops will include Bellflower, Shenoa, Colfax, Gridley, McLean, Saybrook, and Stanford. Exact times and locations can be found at eifoodbank.org/help/mobile/html. While registration is required, it does not guarantee a donation of food as monthly income restrictions apply. For example, a household of four people does not qualify if the gross monthly income exceeds $7,800, according to the food bank. More information can be found at eiffoodbank.org. Bloomington Parks and Rec to host a job fair at Grossinger Motors Arena. Grossinger Motors Arena will play host to a job fair for Bloomington's Parks and Recreation and Arts and Entertainment departments from 4:30 to 6 p.m. on March 4th. The event is open to applicants 15 years or older and who should enter from the Front Street doors. Applicants will then have a chance to meet with program directors to discuss job responsibilities for a variety of positions. Availability of positions in the Parks and Recreation Department include lifeguards, swim instructors, golf course staff, seasonal laborers, youth sports instructors, cashiers, van drivers, guest services, day camp counselors, and more. Arts and entertainment positions including concession attendants, bartenders, arena workers, and custodians. This job will be a great opportunity for those curious about what opportunities are available within the city of Bloomington, said Tom Rakenstraw, marketing manager for Bloomington's Parks and Recreation Department, in a news release. For a full list of positions or to apply early, visit bloomingtonil.gov/jobs. This headline reads, Allstate to raise homeowners insurance rates by 14.3%, by Robert Chanik. As California smolders in the wake of devastating wildfires that burned 12,000 homes and left billions of dollars in damage, insurance rates are set for another double-digit rise 2,000 miles away in Illinois. Climate change-related weather events roiling insurance markets across the U.S. may well connect the dots between California and Illinois, according to industry analysts. Allstate is increasing homeowners insurance rates in Illinois by 14.3% beginning February 24th, according to a filing with the state last month. The rate hike applies to a portion of Illinois customers, with some seeing lesser increases or no changes, an Allstate spokesperson said Monday. While more frequent, severe weather and higher repair prices have increased insurance claim costs, customers continue to get competitive prices with Allstate and can save money by bundling home and auto, Allstate said in a statement. In its filing, Northbrook-based Allstate and nearly 248,000 customers in Illinois will be affected by the 14.3 homeowners rate increase next month. Last year, Allstate raised homeowners insurance rates in Illinois by 12.7%, while State Farm implemented a 2.3 increase in May. We do not currently have a homeowners rate increase filed in Illinois in 2025, a spokesperson for Bloomington-based State Farm wrote in an email on Monday. While not directly related to the California wildfires, which have left thousands homeless and generated rebuilding cost estimates ranging from $30 billion to more than $250 billion, insurance rates in Illinois and other states are being driven by the increasing prevalence of extreme weather events. In December, the Senate Budget Committee released a report about the impact of climate change weather events on insurance markets, which has precipitated a homeowner's insurance crisis as providers raise rates or pull out of states across a wide swath of the U.S. Climate change is no longer just an environmental problem, the report concludes. It is a looming economic threat. Florida, Louisiana, North Carolina, and California top the list of states where it is getting harder to insure homes because of everything from wildfires to hurricanes. But the issue has destabilized markets from New England to Hawaii as insurance providers decline to renew homeowners' policies, according to the report. Illinois fared better than most states on the homeowners' insurance non-renewal list, ranking 43rd, according to the Senate report. In California, about 22% of the buildings in the Pacific Palisades fire and 12% in the Eaton fire are covered by the state's FAIR plan, insurance of last resort for homeowners unable to obtain coverage from traditional providers. The FAIR plan, a syndicated pool of property insurers, has nearly $5 billion of potential exposure in the Pacific Palisades and Eaton fires and has already received more than 3,600 claims, according to an update Friday on its website. Shannon Martin, an insurance industry analyst for Bankrate, said the California wildfires will create a massive insurance liability that may raise rates down the road for neighboring states and perhaps even Illinois. There's going to be a huge depletion of resources in terms of labor, in terms of lumber, all the building materials that someone needs to rebuild their home, Martin said. So if you live in Nevada and you have a fire at your home, it might cost your insurance company way more than what they calculated to rebuild your home. Beyond the increase of weather-related events, from coastal states getting slammed by hurricanes to extreme storms across the nation, the insurance cost of California wildfires may also spread to other states. If the losses are big enough, Martin said, insurance companies may have to pay more for reinsurance. The insurance company for the insurance companies, resulting in an increased rates for policyholders far from the California wildfires. No one really foresaw the LA wildfires happening the way that they're happening, Martin said. So we know there's going to be a domino effect from that. It's just going to take a while to see what that is. And now some fun things. How time flies. 100 years ago, on January 23, 1925, there was a narrow escape from a serious pileup at Hilltop, 3 miles north of Tallulah, at 1 p.m. yesterday. A wheel gave way on a car of Chicago hogs attached to Train 84, the fast meat and stock express from Rude House to Bloomington. The car jumped the track, killing 12 hogs and injuring a number of others, but none of the other cars of the train followed, and this averted serious loss. 75 years ago, the McLean County chapter of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis has asked for a loan of about $8,000 from the National Foundation to cover indebtedness for a patient care and expenses it expects to incur in the next few weeks. More than 90 patients were treated at St. Joseph Hospital during this year's epidemic. 50 years ago, a two-month look at Bloomington's $1.3 million parking garage reveals the structure is generating only a third of the revenue needed for the parking system to break even on operating expenses and loan payments. Finance Director William Vail said, however, that the garage had a definite impact on the downtown area during November and December. And 25 years ago, Richard Ogden turned what began as a temporary job at a job placement company 30 years ago into a full-time career. Ogden, who sold the four franchises of Snelling & Snelling he had for decades, is retiring. He sold the groups, two in Bloomington and one each in Peoria and Champaign, to the managers of each franchise. So, kind of interesting what's happened in the past. That's all we have time for this half hour. I will be back in a couple of minutes with the second half of the Pantograph.